It's a tricky balancing act for the Pentagon, because while officials want to express as clearly as they can what they view as international norms in cyberspace and to be transparent about their strategies to deter nation-state cyber attacks, they also don't want to create clearly defined red lines that would trigger a military response if they were crossed. Eric Rosenbach is the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Homeland Defense and Global Security.
People ask, and also, I would say, criticize fairly frequently that we don't have cyber red lines. And they say, well, the problem is we haven't declared cyber red lines. And if we did that, then it would be much clearer to our adversaries that if they steal our intellectual property, commit cyber war, that this consequence will happen. Try to sit down and figure out what your red line actually would be that you would tell the world and what you would promise the world you were going to do to them if they cross that. And then keep in mind, when you draw a red line, everyone in the world says, good, I'm going to see how thick that red line is. I'm going to go as close to it as I possibly can because they're not going to do anything to me because they said that. So we can very consciously decide that we don't want to put a bright line on certain things when you're thinking about cyber in particular.
Instead, Rosenbach says DOD wants to make sure the world at large at least understands the U.S. thought process when it comes to cyber deterrence, something he says requires a very different approach from the decades of thinking that went into nuclear deterrence.
Deterrence, when it comes down to it, in its very, very core, is an issue of perception. It's what an adversary or an individual, a bad guy, a nation state, it's what they think they'll be able to accomplish in this cost-benefit calculus. If they think the costs are going to be very low and the benefit is going to be very high, and that's their perception, then they're more likely to do it, right? Very basic type stuff. And because it's based in perception, you need to make sure that there's some way that you communicate the way you're thinking about this.
Rosenbach says the Pentagon is clear-eyed about the fact that even though there's relatively little it can do to make terrorist groups less willing to use cyber weapons if they were to acquire them, governments can still be deterred. And they also respond to the Pentagon's messaging when it discusses its thinking in public. DOD learned that lesson in 2011 when, in a report to Congress, it discussed its cyber deterrence strategy in public for the first time and also made its first acknowledgement that it has offensive cyber capabilities.
More often than not, when we're not transparent, especially about things like offensive cyber, they believe the worst and that we're trying to rain destruction on the world when the reality is it's very, very small and very, 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 very carefully considered. There's a report to Congress where we said, if directed by the president, the Department of Defense will conduct offensive operations in a manner consistent with the policy principles and legal regimes that the department follows for kinetic capabilities, including the law of armed conflict. Okay, so it seems like a very small thing. But when the whole world and most of your nation-state adversaries are watching you very closely, then they pick up on things like that. And the reason I know is then when I was meeting with people from other countries, possibly adversary countries and then allies as well, without any prompting, they asked about just this one statement that was in a congressional report that otherwise would generate no attention. So it made us realize that we do need to do this. It's important, and we should keep thinking about it.
The specific messages DOD wants to communicate to other nations are what make up the other three deterrence pillars: that the U.S. will respond to cyber attacks, that it has an active strategy to make sure the other countries don't gain much benefit from breaching U.S. networks, and that even if an attack is successful, those networks will quickly bounce back into action. On response, Rosenbach says the U.S. message is that it will sometimes respond tit for tat by meeting a cyber attack with a cyber response, but not always.
But the response could be something that doesn't have anything at all to do with the Department of Defense. It could be a demarche. It could be sanctions. It could be an indictment. It could be a public statement that this is unacceptable, something that we've done a lot more of publicly in the last year in particular.
DOD also wants to deter future cyber attacks by ultimately sending the message that those attacks won't be successful, so attempting them isn't worth the cost. Rosenbach says the U.S. could send that signal by making it clear, either via direct communications or by making it obvious that its networks are well protected. That pillar of the deterrence strategy is reasonably easy to execute when it comes to protecting DOD's own networks. But for now, it's pretty difficult when it comes to defending U.S. critical infrastructure.
The biggest problem is that we don't own the nation's critical infrastructure. The private sector does for the most part. Some are quasi-government and public. And generally, there's been large underinvestment in the cybersecurity of critical infrastructure. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist for someone to figure out that it is impossible, nearly impossible, to think the Department of Defense, even, you know, with everything we have going on, to intercept every single cyber attack against the United States critical infrastructure. Why? Because the way people do this is they plant the bad stuff first, and then with, you know, a single command, they let off the bomb. That's pretty hard to defend against.
Finally, Rosenbach says, DoD aims to deter cyber actors by making sure that even if they do decide to launch an attack, U.S. critical infrastructure is resilient enough that it doesn't do much meaningful harm.
If they do attack, we were not successful in the denial. They do attack. It is successful, but that attack actually leads to not very much because the network comes right back up, or the lights don't go out, or they only go out for 15 minutes, or whatever the objective was is not successful because we built our networks, the technology, the human infrastructure in a way that it bounced right back. That alters, again, that cost-benefit relationship, right? Because there's more cost. You did it. It came right back up. Now, the other person, the bad guys, they're in a pretty bad position. Why? They launched something that's like an attack on the nation. They kind of did it. So we know what they were trying to do. It was very serious, but they weren't successful because we bounced right back and we were resilient. Then what do you fear? If you're the leader of bad guy country X, you're like, right, game on. Someone's coming after you now, right? And it's probably not just going to be cyber if you went after us in a major way.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.